Jersey. Hello, America, and welcome to listeners all over the world. I would like to send out a special welcome and thank you for listening to my friends in Monmouth County, as well as Ocean County, New Jersey, my friends in Los Angeles, California, and my other friends up in Calgary, Canada. Thanks for listening. This is Harvey Rothman, and welcome to Coaching of the 21st Century. My special guest tonight, Fossil Khan, Bourbon County Sheriff's Officer and Certified Professional Coach. And Fossil is going to be talking today about what he does as a professional coach to law enforcement. And in a couple of minutes, we will get started with that interview. In the interim, I would like to remind everybody that the views expressed by myself or my guests are those of myself or my guests only. They do not reflect the views of the radio station. Also, please, do not take anything that you hear on the show as personal advice or a substitute for seeing a professional coach or therapist, as the case may be. I would also like to remind everyone that if you wish to call in and ask Fossil a question or comment, or myself, our phone number here at Hamilton Radio is 609-241-7103. That's 609-241-7103. Feel free to call in anytime. We'll be glad to speak with you. Good evening, Fossil.
Good evening. First, I'd like to say thank you for having me here. I greatly appreciate it. I hope everyone's having a wonderful night.
We are. My pleasure. Pleasure to have you here tonight. So, Fossil, you are a certified professional coach, but tell us a little bit about what you did before that.
Sure, I will. Before I even start with that, I just want to say, if you call in, I can't get rid of speeding tickets, just so you know. Well, I'll start first by telling you, I used to do sales for 13 years in various companies before I became a police officer. What I realized growing up was my true passion and calling was to get into law enforcement. And as my career towards sales came to an end, I was having a difficult time getting into law enforcement. And where I found my life to be was I expected to be farther than where it was. So at that time, I had a client of mine express to me, you know, if I ever heard about Tony Robbins. Right. And I told him, I was like, no, I never heard about him. So I decided to make that transition and go into the seminar, and I had a huge transformation in my life. My first experience with coaching was hiring a life coach through Tony Robbins.
Really?
Yeah.
And how did you go about that?
After signing up with Tony Robbins' coach, I obtained the goal of becoming a police officer, so it was a great experience and my first connection with coaching.
Okay, so that coach that you signed up with actually coached you into law enforcement?
Correct.
Which was your passion?
Correct.
Cool. So since then, you've been in law enforcement for how many years?
I've been in law enforcement going on 5 years.
Okay. And what led you to decide you want to get into coaching?
Yeah. So, you know, after getting the experience of the coaching and obtaining the goal of becoming a police officer, and my first police department was Patterson Police Department, I still continue my personal development and training, and I found, you know, through that process, my true calling, true passion was to make a difference in people's lives, hence me being a police officer. And from there, after having that experience, you know, I ended up getting laid off through Patterson Police Department.
Uh-huh. And then what happened?
Then through the tools and education that I used through my personal development training courses, I decided to see what opportunity was for me. And what I've noticed is going through an appointment, I got a small grant because I was in the Marines. So based on that, I ended up going to IPEC Coaching School, where I met this wonderful friend of mine, Harvey, at.
Which I mentioned in my first interview.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So after coaching, going through the coaching school, IPEC Coaching, I was certified as a professional coach, mm-hmm. And then I created my business, Khan Coaching. And
that was going to be my next question.
Sure. I guess I was a little bit ahead of you, Harvey, today.
That's okay. No problem.
So after, you know, getting certified professional coaching, discovering Khan Coaching and creating the business, I know I make a difference in every day in someone's life as a police mm-hmm. officer, but I felt my true calling was to make a difference in law enforcement personnel.
All right. Let me backtrack, because when we first met back at the coaching, you and I had some conversations, and you expressed some of your aspirations and why you wanted to do them. Do you remember what they were?
Yeah, I mean, a few of them is, what I noticed is being in law enforcement for several years is there's a lot of negativity that as an officer you deal with on a constant basis.
Sure.
You know, this number may be wrong, but it's just a number I like to say, you know, anywhere from 95 to 98% of the things that we deal with on a consistent basis are negativity.
Of course.
And what I learned and saw and realized with a lot of my coworkers and other law enforcement personnel is that they become that because of the constant dealing of the negativity around them.
So it rubs off on them.
Yeah, I think it emotionally drains someone and brings them down, and they lose a little bit of hope in their personal life.
And what have you learned about how to turn that around?
What I learned is, you know, having law enforcement personnel to look into their lives to see really, you know, what is it, what's working for them in their life, and what's not working for them in their life. And once they see that, to discover where they want to go with it next.
So now that you're in law enforcement coaching, I mean, that's what your business is?
Yes.
Okay. And that's your specialty, so to speak?
Yes.
Okay. So what kind of issues do you encounter in law enforcement coaching? I'm sorry.
Okay. I'll get to that in one second. I just want you guys to know here, you know, Harvey looks like he's interrogating me through here. When we look at each other, I feel like I'm a suspect here.
I thought you were the cop.
right now, I'm not feeling that way.
See what it's like to be on the other side.
Yeah, I see it. I'm sweating. Do I get a lawyer?
No, but I'll give you a cold rag.
Yeah.
Nah, you're doing great. Before we go on, question, do you have a website?
Yes, I do.
What is your website?
My website's khancoaching.com, and it's K-H-A-N and coaching.com.
And do you have a phone number you want to share or no?
If you go to my website, I have all the contact information there. You can email me too and speak to me directly.
Yeah. Tell us about your website. What's on your website?
Yeah. On my website, I have some of the events that I've been to, and I've done some workshops. Currently, I do about 3 to 4 workshops a year in different police academies all over New Jersey.
Nice. Tell us about the workshops. What are they consist of?
Yeah, the workshop consists of myself and two other coaches. One coach's name is Ray Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
He's a captain. And another coach is Karen Sullivan. They both are police officers, too. I choose not to tell where they are just for their own privacy.
That's fine.
And us three do the coaching workshop together. And what we do is we focus on using coaching as a leadership skill and law enforcement supervision.
Can you explain a little bit more about what you mean by a leadership skill in law enforcement supervision?
Sure, I definitely can. I think within leadership, no matter what organization or type of business or job that you have, you're always looking to lead someone into your vision. So in law enforcement, as a supervisor, you have to deal with many various personalities and people, just like any other organization, and you have to have them understand what you're trying to get to. So an example would be, let's say, you know, you want to have an employee that's been there so long and does not want to work as fast as another employee, so you have to find how to get that person vested into the organization again. And what we do is using the coaching tools and education of how to get that person vested into. To ask them, basically, what will it take for them to want this type of result in their life?
Okay. Now, this is a workshop you're giving.
Correct.
Are you working with individuals or just with groups?
We work with various law enforcement officials all over New Jersey. They come to the police academy, and it's a group setting. Very open back-and-forth conversation.
And how did you start doing the workshop thing?
The workshops came around with Ray himself approaching me and Karen and getting us all involved, because one of the things we all three of us are passionate about is really making a difference in law enforcement. And we really truly feel like if we make a difference in law enforcement, that's going to actually come out in the public's eyes too, and on a daily basis. So based on that, you know, when you have an interaction with an officer, as much as some people may think opposite, it's not supposed to be pleasant. We would like to make it pleasant, you know, and there is times when it can't be pleasant just because of what the job entails.
Right,
but
the nature of it.
The nature of it, but that's our main goal, you know.
Okay, so, I mean, most of us come into contact with police officers when we get stopped for a ticket,
mm-hmm.
Traffic violation or something like that.
Sure.
Something simple.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we deal with, as a lawyer and you, in your job, we deal with others as well, including criminals.
Sure.
And it's not really a pleasant experience,
mm-hmm.
but do you think that law enforcement officers bring their personal lives to the job with them?
Well, my personal, again, my personal opinion, I think is at times they do, you know, and I think one of the disconnects between law enforcement personnel and public is that we deal with a lot, and if you're not in the person's shoes, it's hard to understand. You know, an example would be you go from one call, which may be just a parking ticket or motor vehicle accident, to another call, which may be a stabbing or a shooting. So you're in a constant emotional battle up and down. Now, that's one part of the aspect of the job. Then you have the organization and structure that you have to deal with, the politics and other things that happen, and with the various personalities of coworkers. But that's two elements, right? And then the third element is your family. You know, so if you're married with kids, you know, and let's say hypothetically financially you're not doing well, you know, you're struggling a little bit, your wife can't work and you have two kids and you're just like most Americans these days probably guessing are dealing with a lot financially. So add that all up, it equates to a lot of stress on a daily basis.
And what kind of tools do you give law enforcement officers to use to combat stress?
Some of the tools I give them is really, you know, where are they physically? You know, where are they mentally? Where are they emotionally? And one of the things I'll express as you asked the question earlier was, what else is on my website? Well, I have a program for law enforcement personnel, and it's called the 8 Mandates to Life and Law and Order of Life mm-hmm. for officers. And what we focus on is, like, the success of an officer, the health and wellness, the communication, time management, productivity, life purpose, relationships, leadership, and promotions. And even though I'm having this conversation around law enforcement, what I really want you guys to understand here is this can be used for anyone who's listening. You know, everyone's dealing with something in their life, and our stresses and our, you know, blocks that are happening for us in law enforcement personnel may be different, but just because what we deal with on a daily basis, but I'm sure in your everyday life or in your organization or business or company, you may be dealing with some type of stress. And granted, we do deal with a lot more in that aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, the life of a police officer sounds like a roller coaster.
It definitely is.
You know, going from a parking ticket to or a speeding ticket to a stabbing or a shooting.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to walk into.
No, you definitely don't.
And that must wreak havoc on your emotions.
Yeah, it definitely does wreak havoc on our emotions. And, I mean, I'm just going to share, like, a little bit of a statistic about police officers. I'm sure out there in the public, most people don't probably know or don't know about this. You know, and this is on policeone.com. As police officers, we live an average of 15 years less than an average American. Nearly 50% of us will die from heart disease within 5 years of retirement. And then statistically, we are 25 times more likely to die from a cardiovascular disease than from an action of suspects. So I'm sure out there you're like, well, those are all symptoms that probably can be cured, you know, based on exercising and fitness and health and wellness. Well, if you look at it from that perspective, you're right. The question I would ask everyone out there is, how many of you get up in the morning and do physical fitness and get ready to start your day? I'm sure there's a lot, and I'm sure there's some that don't. Now, in law enforcement, as an officer, we work shift work. So what that primarily means, we work 10, 11-hour days, and we work all odds and the nights, and it takes a toll on our body. But more than that is when we're working all these odd hours, only thing that are open is fast food, yummy grease.
You mean the proverbial donuts?
Yeah, donuts. I knew that was going to come up sooner or later. I have everyone laughing here about donuts. So, and anybody wants to know out there, my favorite donut is Boston cream.
Oh, me too.
I love it.
Me too. So, it sounds like there are various components to what you do. It sounds like there's a, I guess we call it an inner coaching and an outer coaching.
Sure.
So the outer coaching, as I understand you, would be all the... I'll ask you to explain it.
Sure. So the inner coaching all comes down with the probably the same type of blocks that comes for anyone, you know, and that can be, you know, the belief, can I work in life to get something else more than a policing career? And in the sense of having a policing career, but also looking at how can I excel in my policing career, maybe move up to the ranks or start a business or, you know, work on my physical fitness. So some of the inner blocks that may come up for someone is, you know, I'm not good enough to do it, you know, or there's no hope for me to have this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then the outer blocks at times can be is the belief of someone saying, you know, my coworkers won't let me do this because they're not going to give me the opportunity. So I always like to say, you know, if you want to succeed in whatever realm that is, and it's something that I saw on YouTube, is if you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, you can accomplish anything in life.
Of course. As all the famous writers say, and Tony Robbins as well.
Yeah.
So would you say that in order to coach somebody who's having, I'll say challenges, what do you have to change first?
Yeah. I think a big change for someone is, one, I think more than anything of changing anyone out there in law enforcement personnel especially is, you know, you have to know that and feel that they want that change. They have to be committed to it. So that's the first step.
Uh-huh.
And once you discover the first step of their commitment to that change, then the second step I feel is, what are the thoughts and their beliefs about themselves and their change that they're looking to get to? How vested are they?
So that's the inner coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah. So coaching them around their inner beliefs and their original imprints, I suppose.
Yes, definitely.
And I guess what's holding them back, what their blocks are.
Yes, definitely.
And so how does that translate now into the into outer coaching?
Okay. So once you see that, then it's really the person, are they committed enough to take those action steps, which is the outer part. So when, you know, coaching them through a process and discovering, hey, you know, they want to get up and go to the gym 3 times a week, and you have that conversation, you coach them through the process, and they're committed to that goal, and then the next week or the following week when you have that conversation, what comes up for them is, I didn't do it.
That's going to be my next question.
What do you do then?
Right.
Like, I didn't do it. I slept, overslept, you know? I had one too many donuts. There's like these guys in here like they are. You know?
That can happen.
So that definitely can happen. And, you know, so you have to see what caused that not to happen. Once you discover what caused that not to happen, then you can work through that. They always say in life, you know, you learn more from the failures than you do sometimes from your wins.
Absolutely.
You know, I think we all have been beaten up somehow in life. In good ways and bad ways, you know. So if you take a second and just think about it, you probably learned a lot more from your failures and your beating up than your wins.
I completely agree with you.
You know?
I think we learn a lot from our failures, although some people would say there is no such thing as failure.
That is true.
Everything is an opportunity to learn and to grow, right?
I agree.
Thought you would. So,
Well, that's only because you have the interrogation look on right now, so I agree.
Who, me? So, where was I going with that? All right, so somebody says they're going to do something and because they say they want to, and they promise you they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen. is there a part of coaching that in which you really strive to hold people accountable?
Yeah, I write them a ticket. What I actually do in that sense is basically it goes back to really looking at what did they not do and why did they not do it. So really the question is why, you know, and everyone has different reasons or different stops from them to do it. So somebody might say, hey, you know, I'm married, I have two kids, I couldn't get up in the morning, I had to make the kids breakfast and I got up late. Okay, not a problem. So we look at that. So then we look at, well, what happened? What caused that? Okay, the alarm didn't go off. Okay, why didn't the alarm go off? I hit the button. So what was your first thought that came up to you that stopped you from getting up from your bed to hit the alarm or stop it or not set the alarm? And once we discover that, then we work through that. So again, it goes to emotional inner, even though the action of the outside was not done. So I guess it's like peeling away, you know.
An onion.
An onion. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow, Harvey read my mind.
That's part of what I do.
He's good.
Yeah, so you're looking to get to the underlying cause, so you're taking all these excuses that people are giving you, and you're challenging them.
Yeah, definitely.
And you're challenging them to understand, as I understand it, that they are excuses and that there's maybe another block below it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more of the thoughts and feelings. And, you know, as I'm saying this, you know, what's coming to my head next is, you know, anybody who's on this call that's listening, you know, maybe take out a piece of paper and just write down, you know, what's in your life that you want to work on and maybe what's in your life that you want to not work on. And as we're talking, you know, start dissecting it. It's like, what are your thoughts and your feelings around that that's stopping you from getting what you want? And then, you know, as Harvey talked about earlier, that we'll do some questions and answers. And I definitely would love, and Harvey would love to work with you guys too, whoever wants to be open to that.
That's great. And let me remind the listeners that if anybody does have a question or comment for Fossil or myself, the phone number is 609-241-7103. That's 609-241-7103 here in Hamilton, New Jersey. So,
oh, that's where I'm in Hamilton? Wow, I came all the way down here.
Yeah. I know they said this was Florida, but
yeah, that's what I thought I was going to.
But seriously, I want to delve into a couple of specific examples now.
Sure.
And if you want to go back and forth on anything, feel free. First responders in general tend to have a lot of stress.
Yeah.
And we remember the first responders of 9/11, and now we've got the first responders of Boston. And those are just large-scale examples of what officers do on a regular basis. So if somebody came to you, a police officer, and said that he or she had a trauma by being a first responder and just couldn't get out of their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping in mind, again, that we're not therapists, but it's something they want to be coached through to move forward. What kind of things would you do to coach that person?
Yeah. So one, you know, look at, you know, what is the trauma that they're dealing with? And the very important thing, like you mentioned earlier in this, is I need to understand exactly what the trauma is and how they're holding on to it. Is like we said, we're not therapists, so if they need professional therapy help, then that's something I can direct them or do coaching. And when this person that you're giving me the scenario wants coaching, I would have to really understand what are they thinking and what are they telling themselves about the trauma. What does it mean to them? You know, and how are they interpreting this trauma? So in this trauma, it can be, you know, let's say someone saw, you know, body parts, and it's affecting them. So we look at what are they holding on to and what do they keep replaying about this situation and scenario.
So body parts like we would see on CSI.
Yeah, in CSI, yeah.
Uh-huh. Or on Dexter.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, that's that could be pretty gruesome.
Yeah, minus the designer clothes.
But, okay. So, what would cause, what are the causes of what would cause somebody to hold on to something like that when they've been trained in law enforcement and trained to do this kind of job?
Yeah.
It's not, I'm sorry, let me just finish. So it's not like they're just Joe Blow coming off the street and seeing body parts who will be, I mean, anybody would be nauseated by it, but this is somebody who's been trained to do this. For example, many years ago, I went to an autopsy just really to see how it was done, and I was a paramedic at the time. So I guess I wasn't trained, but it was no big deal for me at the time, although I think today it would be something different. What kind of issues come up when you talk about the trauma?
Yeah, I guess, you know, in saying what you just mentioned, you know, about the training, you know, we are definitely trained really well and to do our job, you know, to handle everything that comes to us, you know, and at times, you know, some things that can't be maybe handled easy, but we do think and we push through them. And one of the quick things of understanding that is, you know, we only have milliseconds or split seconds to make decisions in a lot of the actions that we do. And if someone is holding on to this type of trauma, you know, we as a policing, as most people may think, is it does exist. There is outlets, you know, as far as therapy and other avenues, counseling. But when we do our physical training for 6 months, 8 months, however that long may be in your particular departments, we don't talk about as much as of the dealing of the feelings part.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, you know, is there's a stigma around stereotype. You know, hey, as an officer, you're not allowed to express your feelings. You know, you have to hold them up a little bit more inside because it's a masculine somewhat of a position, and we're not supposed to show emotions when we're dealing day to day.
And that's true for the female officers, too?
Yes, it is, definitely. And with that being said, when you're dealing with the scenario that we're talking about, with the trauma, you know, body parts, maybe it's not that incident that's triggered it. Maybe it's a stack of incidents, and this is the one that made it more known in this person to express it. Just like looking in your personal lives, you know, it may not be one situation that, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're like, ah, I'm fat. It might have been a multiple things that, you know, stacking and stacking. Hey, you know, I'm not fitting my clothes anymore.
I know how that happens.
How that
happens.
So it's the same type of situation, just different scenarios.
Okay. Can you, without revealing anything confidential, can you give us an example of somebody perhaps you've coached in the past year?
Yeah, I definitely can. Right now, I'm dealing with a client that, you know, is working on a relationship aspect of it. You know, he's looking to work on a significant other, and he's been dating someone. He's been going a little bit of a difficult time. And what we're just unpeeling and discovering is more is how is he showing up in the relationship? Is he committed to the relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Is he willing to take the next steps in the relationship? And what is his fear in stopping him from having this great relationship, you know? So, which I'm sure a lot of callers can relate to, you know?
I can myself.
Yeah.
As you can.
Yeah, we all can. And I think the other part he's trying to discover is, you know, does this partner of his understand his job fully and completely of what it entails? Because it's sometimes difficult to find a partner that can understand what the emotional roller coaster and emotions are and up and down.
We're talking about a romantic partner, not a police partner.
Yeah, we're talking a romantic partner, not a police partner.
Okay. And actually, that brings to mind an interesting question. I've heard throughout the years that there's a very high rate of infidelity among married police officers. True or false?
Is it true or false? I can't speak for everyone. I'm sure it does exist. Is it a higher rate than anyone else? I don't know. I think doesn't it exist anywhere? It exists in anything, right, in any field. I think my personal opinion, I'm sure it does, you know. Does it happen quite often? I personally don't see it quite often, you know. Again, everyone has situations and relationships that they're dealing with that are difficult at times, you know. Your everyday person who's not in law enforcement may have that aspect happen to them too.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. There are lots of incidences of that everywhere.
Yeah. I heard attorneys are sharks too.
I've heard that. I'm not sure I know any. Not maybe one. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about that relationship coaching.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would think that police officers, law enforcement people, really need to have an understanding, spouse or partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they definitely do. And why they do is because, you know, on a daily basis of what they're dealing with, job to job, calls to call, and the constant negativity, you know, one of the things that I look into in a relationship, you know, when I come home, I just need some, you know, free time and free space before I start interacting with my family or my partner. And that can be 30 to 40 minutes to an hour just because it gives me that time to decompress.
Mm-hmm.
And let the job stay where it needs to stay, and then I can have much more an effective communication in a relationship.
Yeah, that's really important. Have any police officers asked for, or have you given or offered communications coaching in terms of, let me just think this question out, in terms of communications with significant others, communications with their children,
mm-hmm.
Communications with the public,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
and each other?
Yeah, well, based on, you know, my program, you know, I base everything how I coach around that. So if someone has communication is what they want to work on,
mm-hmm.
then I definitely will coach them around communication, and that's definitely not a problem. And I don't think with officers is communication, because I think they're really well in communication because they speak to people.
Sure.
On a daily basis. I think where it needs to be build and work on in officers is really expressions,
mm-hmm.
being self-expressed exactly of telling what's happening to them, and that's a form of communication.
Yeah, nonverbal communication, which brings to mind, you know, what do you mean by expression?
Just being self-expressed, you know, if something's on your mind, just to express it and not hold it in, you know.
Okay. And I guess that would include body language, facial expressions.
Yeah, body, facial, and just maybe expressing parts of their day without, you know, if there's horrific things, not that, and trauma, but just expressing, you know, today was a tough day. Well, I dealt with a lot,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, today I might be off a little bit when I'm at home. So just be understanding to that. And that goes for anyone, you know, whatever you're dealing with in your daily basis,
sure.
in your life, you know.
Sure. Are you familiar with the state trooper stare?
The state trooper stare. No, please tell me about it.
The state trooper stare. That's where the state trooper gets on the stand in a courtroom and tries to intimidate people by staring into thin air without directly looking at the person who's interrogating him
mm-hmm.
or her. I know that's a technique, but if it carries over into their personal lives, is that an issue or challenge with expression?
No, I don't think that would be. I think that's just, you know, technique and a tool used, and, you know, getting being on the witness stand or something like that. I don't think it's what they translate into their everyday life. I think when I say expression, it's more really just expressing what is happening for them and their job a little bit and how it's affecting them at home. So, you know, hey, I'm dealing with a lot. You know, I just had to answer 20 calls today, and I had to deal with some stabbing or shooting, you know, and not going into detail, but just saying, hey, you know, I'm off a little bit today, and I just need some time alone, or can we do something different today? And in that aspect of it.
And how's the paperwork in law enforcement?
Oh, paperwork, wow. It's a lot. We cut a lot of trees down, let's just put it that way.
Wow. Well, I can imagine. I mean, I've got the same problem with poor trees. You mentioned a minute ago that you have a program.
Yes. And before I get to the program, I just want to say this, is, you know, when you talk about paperwork, you know, we're always constantly criticized from the outside in, looking, because our actions obviously dictate something, and we have to be held accountable. But one of the things just to be aware and conscious about is our actions is done in split seconds. You know, so it's easy to, as they say, the expression, Monday night quarterback everything. But when you're actually physically doing it and living it and making that decision in that split second, hey, does that person have a gun? Or is that person running? Or is he holding something? Is our life versus, you know, someone else that's possibly threatening us? And that's just one part of it. And obviously, understand this is not something that happens every single split minute for you in your career, but across the country, I'm sure it's happening. Some officers dealing with it at this moment.
I'm glad you raised that. That's actually a very good point. Split second decisions, being the nature of the job, mm-hmm. and being able to observe things quickly and react quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of brings me, or segues into, have you dealt with alcoholism at all? I don't mean you personally, but in terms of clients.
Clients.
Or alcoholism or addictions.
I haven't dealt with addictions, but I haven't dealt with any clients with alcoholism. But does it exist? Yes, it does. You know, I've witnessed it? Yeah, I'm sure there's some guys that probably drink a lot more beers than they're supposed to. But again, that exists, and I think that's a coping mechanism.
Sure.
I think that's a way to cope with what's happening for them in their personal or career,
mm-hmm.
And maybe to what they deal with.
You know, one of my friends raised the other day, and I didn't really know the answer, can addicts be coached out of their addictions? What do you think? Off the cuff.
Off the cuff. Wow, you throw me a curveball. I caught it, though. Don't worry, guys.
I know you did. I saw you with that mitt.
So I'll have to say, you know, I think they can. I think, you know, my belief personally is that I think anyone can have any type of change or sustainable change in their life if they're willing to commit to it. You know, can an addict get off drugs? Yes. Can an addict stay clean completely? Of course. Can they not? Of course. I think certain drugs are much more difficult to stay clean from, but I'm sure in the world there's cases and there's actual studies and actual people that are clean of drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it does exist, and I think a lot has to do, my belief more to add to that would be really with their inner thought about their self. What do they think about their self?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of this stuff that we're talking about right now has to do with what is your belief about you as a person.
So,
do you deserve that great relationship? Do you deserve that outstanding job out there in the world? Do you deserve to get up every morning and give your body the best, you know, physical fitness and wellness? I don't know. Depends.
Okay. When we talk about deserving, are we talking about what you and I know as the gremlins?
Yeah, we're talking a little about the gremlins.
Why don't you tell the folks what the gremlins are?
Okay. The gremlins is just really just a name that we give for some of the thoughts about you, about your thoughts inside. So I guess the easiest way to break it down, because, it kind of feels like I'm doing stand-up right now. You know, and I got the crowd right there. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys probably came on here and you're like, wow, this guy's going to talk about tickets and donuts and coffee, and I'm doing a stand-up bit.
No, I would never accuse you of doing anything other than stand-up.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Right? I'm taking it to the road. Are you joining me?
I'm joining you. I'm with you.
So really, when we're talking about the word gremlins, it's really just naming it and creating creating a figure around there and an object around a tangible item.
Okay, something you could see, touch.
Correct. Yeah, and the purpose of that is because if, let's say, you get up in the morning, you're like, you know, your first thought is, I'm not going to get up and I'm not going to work out because I'm not good enough to work out, right? So if the word good enough is just words, so it's not, doesn't carry the same power and the same
strength as a tangible item does. You know, it's visualization. So it's creating a visualization of, of something. And that, our mind thinks more visually, and we hold on to things more visually than we do with words. And the other part to this is, you know, when someone's speaking about certain things, there's something usually deeper than what they're saying. Words are just words.
Mm-hmm.
And there's sometimes a meaning behind that word.
Absolutely. And you're trained as a coach, as I am, to do telecoaching and to really be sensitive to these types of things, even when we're coaching over the phone, which a lot of the coaching is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the best part, you know, and I have to say what I learned from this coaching school more than anything else is listening.
Mm.
And how great when you listen to somebody and truly listen to somebody, you understand really what's happening for someone's life. And the other part is really, I think most people say they listen, but they truly don't listen. And a quick technique, and I'll share with you guys, is if you want to know if someone's listening or you want to listen to somebody really well, whatever they're saying, just paraphrase it back to them, and they'll feel that, you know, that you're listening to them.
Yeah, so many married couples seem to have that issue, whether it's police officers or anyone else. Usually it's the, and I don't mean to be sexist, usually it's because the wife is saying the husband doesn't listen to me.
Yeah.
And 90% of the time, she's correct.
Yeah.
He's not.
Yeah.
I've been guilty of it several times in my life.
Yeah.
As we all have. So what does it mean to actively listen?
It just means to basically listen to the person, not just the words. Really listen to what they're trying to tell you and express to you. So it's like, hey, you know, I had a tough day today. That doesn't mean, hey, I had a tough day, let me start just talking about what we can do to fix it, you know. And that's one of a tendency, you know, as men we do in relationships, we just tend to fix things. And a woman sometimes doesn't want that, they just want to be heard.
Exactly.
I have no idea how we got into this. We were talking about law enforcement, we were talking about tickets, but we were talking about relationships, which is great.
Yeah, because you are actually, you mentioned you were coaching somebody with a relationship. And we kind of segued into it, which is what happens around here.
Yeah.
So
there is no script here, just so you guys know.
No, there's no script. So we segued into relationships a little bit, and police officers, law enforcement, like anybody else, they have relationship issues.
Yeah.
And I apologize again. I hate to use the word issue. Challenges, perhaps even opportunities to learn. Right?
Yes, definitely.
Let me just interject for 1 second. For anybody who may have any questions or comments for Fossil or myself here at Hamilton Radio, the phone number is 609-241-7103. 609-241-7103. Don't be shy. We'd love to hear from you. So we were just speaking about relationship issues.
Mm-hmm.
And
Let's look at something else. I coached
sure.
another client
sure.
around physical fitness. That's probably a big one.
Yeah, it is.
I'm sure a lot of callers are maybe dealing with that or have dealt with that in the past,
mm-hmm.
and that's a big thing, you know. What I see, you know, in the world in this day and age and society is a lot of people don't take the time and effort to work on their physical fitness, you know.
Why is that?
I can't answer for everyone, but I would
just... No, I mean generally speaking.
Generally, I would say, you know, it doesn't become a priority in life, you know. You become so busy with work, school, kids, wife, family, other thing, you know, and you don't take the time to really give your body what it needs. And, you know, I always like to say, and this is from someone famous out there, I apologize if you guys are listening and I'm not quoting you, but, you know, your body's like a temple.
Oh, yeah.
And, if you're not healthy and physical and your emotional wellness is not there, you can't wake up in the morning. You know, you can't go to work. You can't be there for your kid's game. You can't be there for your spouse. Maybe some of you might like that, but, you know, that's really why physical fitness, I personally put a big priority on it. And I recommend a lot of people, and no matter what type of career you have.
You kind of brought a chuckle to me a second ago. I thought of the old Jimmy Buffett song. I can't remember the name of the song, but in the song, he's talking about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about, my wife says, I treat my body like a temple. You treat yours like a tent.
It's a good one.
Yeah. So physical fitness and amongst your clientele, I would think that you guys really do have to be fit,
mm-hmm.
Especially cardiovascularly and otherwise.
Yeah.
For all the kinds of squabbles you come into, or people you have to wind up chasing from time to time.
Yeah. That does occur at our daily activities, but it's not as daily as people may think it is. You know, it does occur once in a while, you know, a foot chase or a bit physically getting involved with someone. And I just want to be clear with that. It's like, you know, as officers, that's not the first thing we want to do. We don't want to get in a foot chase, and we don't want to get in a tussle with someone, or, you know, love to put handcuffs in someone and, you know, and throwing them down and things like that. That's just, you know, that's what you see on CSI. That's not
right.
really the reality
right.
of it.
Right.
I'd personally, you know, I know a lot of officers would rather use their mouth and talk to the person and bring them down, because it's not something that we enjoy to do. It is necessary when it is necessary, but it's not what we want to do. And you are correct. We do need to be in physical shape, and there's all extremes and variations in police officers, some that are physically fit and some that aren't. And the question is the same for them as anyone else who is not physically fit. It's like, what is stopping you from having that and wanting that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So again, we get back to, what are your blocks?
Yeah.
Like with anyone else. And, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned earlier, which is related, about diet.
Mm-hmm.
You're out there all the time, and what's out there? Fast food.
Yeah.
And you're always on the go.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so how do you guys deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, some guys, you know, just choose to go that route and go to fast food, you know, and it's cost effective too. So it's easier, cost effective, fast. It's 24 hours a day. It's like, how can you not eat it, you know?
Yeah.
Those McDonald's fries taste really good.
I know it. And you seldom see any police officers walking around with a Herman Munster lunchbox.
No, you don't. I do have a lunchbox, though, just so you guys know.
You do? Cool.
Yeah, I do bring my lunch from home.
Do you put it on ice?
I do sometimes. Sometimes I don't.
Excuse me.
At times I do, at times I don't. I just find it to be healthier. Just the quality of food is better for me. That's my choice. But I guess going back to really the physical fitness aspect of it is, with our job, being in a car, you know, for 10, 11, 8 hours a day, you know, so what happens, just like if you work in an office, right, you go out to lunch with your friends, you come back after an hour lunch break, 30-minute lunch break, you're sitting in front of a computer. Well, an office is a similar thing. We sit in a vehicle, though, so you don't get a chance to really burn off any of that food that you ate, and it becomes very easy to fall into that, I guess you want to say, black hole of diet.
Yeah.
You know?
I understand that. Probably also develop a lot of hemorrhoids.
Yeah, there you go.
And, of course, there are those officers who are not out on patrol,
mm-hmm.
who are have office jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me to another interesting topic in police work or any work, but I'll just refer to your profession, aging.
Aging.
Yeah. Now, is there a mandatory retirement age?
65.
Yes. Okay. Do the duties of police officers change as they age?
They do. As time goes on, you may be on the patrol doing daily activities. So, I mean, I'll express a little bit how a police department is structured. Some are, some aren't, not all of them, depending on the size of them. And pretty much they work on the street level, which is patrol. So patrol's main function is really to answer calls, respond to calls. It's kind of like a service call.
Right.
And within that, you have accidents, you know, various robbings, muggings, etc. Then this turns into specialized units, which become more, you may have in a larger urban city or even a larger city, gang units, narcotics, juvenile detective bureau, regular homicide bureau, Bureau for Anti-Crime, Street Crimes, Variations. And in all those different specializations are more investigation. So what it basically is like a funnel. So if you go to a call, which is like a robbery, you'll take the robbery report as an initial officer and put the details and everything that you get from the victim, or if you catch the suspect, et cetera. Then it'll go to the next step, that report, which will go to a detective, which a detective will do the investigation. That's their process to do. And that can take a couple of days, couple of months, couple of years, depending what the crime is.
Do law enforcement personnel typically take their work home with them like we lawyers do? Do they have sleep issues like we do?
Nah. I think that's a myth. Lawyers don't have sleep issues.
No, of course not.
I think what happens is for us, some people do, some officers do, some don't. It varies. I guess it depends how large your caseload is. You know, in a bigger city, you may have a lot more caseload. So, yeah, you may have to take it. If it's a big case, a murder case, you may have to take it home and finish your notes and finish your report. So it needs to be submitted into the prosecutor.
Okay, but I meant like emotionally taking it home.
Emotionally, sorry. Okay. Emotionally taking it home, I think, yeah. I mean, personally, I can tell you for myself, you know, the most emotional cases are, you know, a few that I had to deal with the child.
Yeah.
You know, what you see when a child, it's tough. And taking that home is probably the hardest. But what I've learned for myself is through these personal development training courses and reading a lot of type of books like that, that for me is a release and an outlet, and it keeps me more grounded and understand. It's something that just it happens in life, and I can't really answer why it happened. I can just do what I'm supposed to do in the incident itself, you know.
So what other personal development courses have you taken?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I've been to Tony Robbins. I've been to Landmark Education, several courses with
them. I noticed you're tied in somehow with Landmark.
Yes.
Are you still with them?
No, I did that prior, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
What did you do for them?
I did a couple of various courses with them, and then I led some introductions with them. That was a great experience because it taught me a lot about communication and listening to. And then the last course I took, which was IPAC coaching, which really taught me about human behavior, human blocks, and more taught me about communication to the next level and listening. And one of the things I'm sure Harvey will probably agree on is whatever we're discussing here is really, it's kind of the same for no matter who you are out there.
Sure, absolutely.
It's probably just in a different level, different amount, different intensity. But what I've come to understand is really whatever blocks and stopping you from what you want in your life, it's the same across the board, no matter where you are and what part of the world.
Absolutely, I completely agree with you. Other than people in law enforcement, I think have just in addition to the regular issues, which I'll call them, I guess, issues that are unique to law enforcement,
mm-hmm.
as we've talked about already. Just like other people have. Issues unique to their professions, right?
Of course.
So what I would really like to ask you now, and we're coming to the close of the hour shortly, tell us about your program.
Sure. The program that I offered on concoaching.com, it's the 8 mandates to life and law and order of life for law enforcement personnel. What we do with this program is we basically have police officers, our law enforcement personnel, I do monthly teleclasses. So I have officers come on the call, and we talk and discuss some of the things that are happening in their life, in their personal life, in their career. With this program, it's something that you would sign up for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an 8-week program, and every week we discuss one of the mandates, like earlier said, barriers to success, health and wellness, communication, time management. And we basically, what we do is, we look at what part of that area they want to work on and improve. And we see what's stopping them from getting to where they want to go. And we use the tools and education and get them to break through out of that so they can strive to that goal.
Okay, so you're talking about individual coaching, or are you talking about I thought I understood you to be saying group coaching.
Okay. So this 8 mandates is done in a group format. However, it can be done individual too. It can be done either way, depending how the client chooses to take it on.
Okay. So you are running groups?
Yes, I am.
Great. And from those groups, I imagine you sometimes see private clients, is that right?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, and most of them, my clients are done through the phone, besides the workshops when I do them in various police academies, but most of them are done over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's convenient for my clients and for all of our schedules, but I can meet someone in person too. I'm open to either one.
Is there anything special or unique about you that would make people say, hey, I want to hire Fossil as my coach?
I like Boston Cream.
All right. Well, there's one thing.
What's unique and about me, I would say, really is my personality. But more than that, I would say is my experiences. You know, I am in the field itself. More than that, the tools and education I've learned throughout the years. It's an example, like how I like to put it is this. If you have a legal problem, you hire an attorney, right? The reason why you're hiring an attorney is because all the years of experience that he put and the education that he went to, so you're hiring that expert to help you through the process. Same thing for a doctor. You go to them because you need the help for medically to understand what symptom or disease or virus that you have and you want to heal. Well, so many times in life we look at other aspects of it, but we don't take the time to look at our life to see how well we're doing and how much more we want to get to it and how much we want to grow in it. And through the years of my experience in taking all these various courses and books, that's one of the major reasons why I have the experience and someone you want to look to hire and having the best result out of your life.
Yeah, it's almost like saying I want somebody who's walked in my shoes.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is why I coach lawyers. Of course, they wouldn't need any coaching.
Yeah. and I guess the one other thing I want to mention to this is, you know, for some people this may be new coaching and they may have questions like, oh, do I still completely understand what coaching is? And I like to use an analogy and an example, and I think it's the best, easiest way to connect sometimes for some of the audience and the people out there is if you watch sports, right, you know, you watch baseball, whether you like the Yankees, Mets, whoever, I'll use Derek Jeter as an example for the Yankees. You watch them, right, he gets paid multi-million dollars to hit the ball, you know, and it's basically for him to hit 300% 3 out of 10 times. And he is very gifted and talented, right? But he has a hitting coach. And the question is, like, why does he have a hitting coach? You know, he hits it so many times, nobody probably even thinks about this, right? Well, he has a hitting coach to see what he needs to do to stay on track, what he needs to do to improve, what his swing is off by, why the ball's not hitting, how can he get to the next level, and what numbers can he hit next. So when I say that, I'm sure right now through your head it's connecting and relating, right?
Absolutely.
So the next part to that is, well, take that and just look at it in your life. So what are you hitting home runs in your life? What are you striking out in your life? What are you missing? And what are you running around the bases easily to, and what are you not?
I love the analogy.
Thank you.
Very well said.
Thank you.
So is there anything you would like to leave our audience with tonight?
There is none, but I would love to know if there's any questions out there.
Sure. A few more minutes. If there are any questions for Fossil, 609-241-7103. Feel free to call in. If not, if you want to contact him directly, you can contact him at...
Yeah, if you go to my website, www.concoaching.com. Well, I forgot my name there for a second. So it's www.concoaching.com, and it's khancoaching.com. You can like my Facebook page there. You can look at my program. You can just drop me an email if you have any questions, whether you're in law enforcement or not, or if you have a family in law enforcement. I definitely will answer your question, and I do appreciate your time.
Perfect. Fossil, thank you very much. We appreciated your being here today, ladies and gentlemen. Fossil Khan, Khan Coaching, talking about coaching in law enforcement. I don't think I have any announcements for tonight other than to remember that Hamilton Radio does work with City of Angels. rehabilitation, and it's a wonderful organization. I believe they do have a Cure the Shore event coming up on April 27th. Oops, excuse me. Today's May 1st, isn't it? I apologize.
It's okay.
I apologize.
We'll make April 27th. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Actually, the one I meant to refer to was City of Angels Rock Fest. That's the one I really meant to talk about, which is on June 22nd, I believe, which is the Car and Motorcycle Show, which is going to be at the Mercer County Park, East Picnic Grove, West Windsor, New Jersey. Admission is free. I believe there's going to be lots of music there. Is that right?
Yes.
And I think... And it's free, and I think everyone will have a great time. So
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. So until next time, I bid everybody good night. Sleep tight, and have a great night and a better tomorrow.